Is it encouraging to see young men step into these roles? Amen. Proud of you guys. We really are. This year's LTC theme is Life Light Word, taken out of the book of John. And all of these lessons that you will hear from these guys, April 5th we'll have two more young men who will bring you lessons that they've prepared for LTC. And the puppet skits and the course programs and all of these different things are centered around that theme, Life, Light, Word. The book of John, to me, is one of the greatest gospels. To me, it ranks up there as probably the top one in my life. Dealing with this question of who is Jesus, he makes these claims of being, I am the light and the life. And we see in chapter 1, he is called the Word. And all throughout the book, you find people wrestling with this question of who is Jesus? Is he the Messiah that we've been waiting for? And a group of young men come to believe that. Later on, we will call them the 12 apostles. But one of these guys, they all struggle, but one in particular had a really rough go of it at the end of Jesus' life. Peter. Both these young men that we've heard of talking about failures and stumbling around in darkness and perhaps not knowing what to do. I think as we get to the end of the book of John, we find Peter in that scenario. He literally does not know what's coming next in his life. And you look a little bit at the last couple of weeks in chapter 14, as Jesus was telling his disciples, I'm about to leave. And I'm not going to be with you anymore. You're going to look for me, but you won't be able to find me. The rest of the world is going to look for me, and they won't be able to find me. And Peter pipes in and he says, Lord, why can't I come with you? I would die for you. And Jesus seems to respond, will you now? You would die for me? Peter, listen to me. Before the rooster crows in the morning, you were going to deny me three times. But Peter had made a stance. He'd made a claim of loyalty to Christ, and I believe with all my heart he was ready to die for Jesus right then and there. Because as we go on to the Garden of Gethsemane, we find that eventually the temple guards come to arrest Jesus, and who's the one man that steps up ready to fight? It's Peter. Reaches out, he draws his sword, and he lashes out, cuts off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant. And I can't help but think Peter's feeling awfully proud at this point in time. I'm stepping up for my Lord, my Messiah. I'm going to take care of him. Jesus, you just step back. And yet Jesus says, put the sword away. For if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. In a very real sense, in a very brief moment, I think Jesus kind of took the legs out from underneath Peter. The one thing that Peter had planned to do, he was going to die for his Savior. He was going to die for his rabbi and for his teacher and his Lord. And Jesus said, put the sword away. And now he doesn't know what to do. So he follows along, kind of in the shadows behind the crowd. They go to Caiaphas, the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. And John is able to get Peter into that inner courtyard. And Peter's standing there listening to all this trial that's going on. And eventually somebody comes up, taps him on the shoulder, says, weren't you with Jesus? Aren't you one of his disciples? And he says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the guy. A little bit later, somebody else comes up, taps him on the shoulder, and he says, I think you do know this Jesus. You were one of his disciples. He says, no, I don't know who you're talking about. I've never seen this guy in my life. And you know, heat of the moment, sometimes I think even we make statements that we don't mean. And for a long time, that's how I viewed this period and this moment in Peter's life. Is heat of the moment, bang, bang, bang. He denies Christ three times right in a row. But John gives us an interesting detail that says an hour went by before the third person came up. You ever done something wrong and then sat there and for a long period of time, more than enough time for it to process in your head, to figure out what it is you've done, perhaps even to say, I'm sorry for that, and to come to a repentant state of it, only to turn around after a little bit and do the same thing all over again? Peter sat there for an hour before somebody finally came and said, you were with Jesus, you're a Galilean. Your accent gives you away. And he says, no, I don't know the man. And immediately the rooster crows. And Peter remembers that Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. And he turns. And one of the gospel writers reveals to him, he says, and the Lord looked at him. They met eye to eye. And Peter knew at that point, it's all over. I'm expelled from school, if you will. I can't go back. And so he leaves. He runs out and he weeps bitterly over this failure in his life. Here he has just a few hours before said, Jesus, I will die for you. And then he turns around and he says, no, I don't know who the guy is. And in chapter 21... a little bit of time has gone by, and I can't help but think that Peter still believes that his relationship with Jesus is done. That's it. I mean, what sensible mentor would allow me back into his inner circle after I deny his existence? After I even fail to acknowledge that I know him? And as we had the guys read chapter 21, and I want, if you would, look at John chapter 21 with me for just a moment, beginning at verse 15. As they've sat around eating their breakfast, hauling up this load, the scripture says 153 fish, large fish. And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, what is these? That's an interesting question. Perhaps these is the fish lying on the grill at that point, and maybe even referencing the ones that are in the net over there, because, hey, for a fisherman, 153 large fish, that's pay dirt. That's the mortgage payment for a couple of months. Peter, do you love me more than these? Maybe the fishing tools, the tools of the trade. Because if you're going to do your job right, you need to have the top dollar stuff. And we don't know. Maybe Peter had the good things. Maybe he didn't. Do you love me more than the material possessions that you use in order to be successful in life? Perhaps. Maybe he's saying, do you love me more than these, the rest of the disciples? Personally, I don't think that's as likely. I think it's one of the first two options. But Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he asks him again, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, you know that I love you. And a third time he says, Peter, do you love me? He says, yes, you know that I love you. But let me tell you something interesting about this passage that we don't get to see in the English. You've heard about the different words for love, agape, phileo, eros. Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I phileo you. I love you like a brother. Why does he do that? Why does he use what could be argued as a lesser degree of love to say, yes, Jesus, I love you? Jesus asks again, Simon, do you agape me? Yes, Lord, I phileo you. You know that. Could it be that maybe Peter's failure, that he's played this up in his mind so much, he says, I've already opened my mouth once and failed when I had the opportunity to stand up for Jesus and I didn't do it. There's no way that I'm going to open up my mouth and commit to a lifelong love of Jesus that's unconditional. So he takes it down a notch and he says, I love you like a brother. Maybe I'm just not sure if I can commit to a lifelong unconditional love, Jesus. And then a third time, Jesus asks him, only this time Jesus says, Peter, do you really even phileo me? Do you really even love me like a brother? And I think maybe this one hurt. And Peter says, you know that I love you. Phileo. You see, I think a lot of times we find ourselves in the same boat as Peter. We've failed one too many times. We've popped off our mouth and come to find out we can't stand up and do the things that we claimed we could. And we find ourselves failing our Savior once again. And it makes us hesitant to step up to the plate again. It makes us a little bit wary about opening up our mouths and trying to take that step of making that commitment that Jesus is looking for day in and day out of our lives. But let me tell you something about this encounter with Peter and Jesus that it rings ever so true with our lives as well. God has confidence in your ability to commit to Him. Notice what he says after the third time. In verse 18, Jesus says, truly I say to you, Peter, that when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Peter, you said you'd die for me. And you will. It may not be the way that you anticipated. May not even be the way that you want to say that you died for me. But you will die for me. And I think in essence he also says again, Peter, do you agape me? And he answers for him, yes, Peter, you agape me. Have you failed in your life? Is failure wreaking havoc in your spiritual life? Do you rack your brain day in and day out saying, how could I do this? There's no way that I could step up and be that kind of person God wants me to be. It's impossible. Folks, Jesus is standing over the side saying, I know you love me. Follow me. Follow me. And you will prove your love. Because I will carry you when it's rough. I will help you along the way when you fail, but you have to follow me. Do you need to begin your walk with Christ tonight? Do you need to begin following Him? Or have you strayed from that path, trying to be like Peter, figure out what do I do next because I failed my Lord once again? God is standing with His arms wide open, waiting for us to come home, and you have an opportunity to do that right now while we stand and sing.